I teach people who are incarcerated and people who want to take a deeper dive in a Bible study.
I lead the English for Speakers of Other Languages ministry.
Me and my buddy Austin, we have a Saturday night soccer, indoor soccer ministry.
I saw what I felt might be a need, especially with our Korean congregation. I prayed for quite a while, and then I watched as God kept opening doors.
God has always put me in positions to lead people when I think that this was a great opportunity to do that.
There have been times, particularly people who are incarcerated, who want to come back and learn more and want to study the Bible more.
A lot of people that don't know too much about God and that have come for the first time and get a nice message to plant that seed in them.
But we have students coming who we know are not believers. They have shared that with us. And they keep coming, and they ask wonderful questions.
I want to approach people, want them to be more familiar with the text, and whenever they have an appetite for that, I feel like that's where God uses me the most.
I've seen a multitude of people get introduced to the church for the first time.
There was one lady, a Japanese student, who recently went home to Japan and came to Thrive, our women's conference. Before she left, I had the opportunity to ask her if she had accepted Jesus, and she said she had, and she was going to look for a church back home in Japan. The Holy Spirit is working.
I want to take a minute, and we're going to be looking at God's Word here in just a minute, but I want to take a minute for us to celebrate something kind of cool that happened recently. About a month ago, Dorm and Ethel Beavers celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary. Dorm and Ethel, would you wave at all of us? They were down in Florida at the time, but it's good to have you back, and congratulations. Thanks for setting the example for all of us. Awesome. Today, I want to talk to you about being ready, and I want to talk to you for a minute. You know, I'm a sports fan, right? All of you know I'm a sports fan. I talk about that enough that some of you are like, "Yeah, quit talking about it." I used to consider myself an athlete. I consider myself a former athlete now. I need to play more sports, but my son Jack is in second grade, and he started playing flag football last year. And so here's the thing, I don't ever feel comfortable being the head coach. They're always begging people to coach flag football teams, but I don't feel like I can commit a single night of the week because it's just our schedule's so, crazy and flexible. And so I can never be the head coach of the flag football team, but then every season the same thing happens. We go out to the first practice and they say, "Hey, does anybody want to help?" And I can't say no to that, and so I always raise my hand. And so this past fall, I was the, don't get too impressed, okay? I was the assistant flag football coach for the Buffalo Bills second grade LSO flag football team. Yeah, big deal. Kind of, it goes on the resume. But anyway, so I started working with the flag football team, but it was kind of strange because we would go out to practice and the coach would just take the kids and do the coaching, and myself and the other guy, I wasn't even the only assistant coach, I was one of two, but myself and the other assistant coach would just be standing there kind of on the side and just talking to each other, and the coach would go run over the plays and do all this stuff. So about 3 weeks into the season, the coach said, "Hey, I'm not going to be able to be there this next week, so you guys have to take over." Okay, great. Now, like I said, I grew up playing sports. I watch football probably more than any of you watch football. I love football. And so I pride myself on knowing something about football. So I get there that Saturday, and I'm kind of thinking, "Hey, I'll just coach the defense. It's simple. Pull the flags. Funnel them to the other people. No problem. Don't let them around the end. Easy." And I get there, and the other assistant coach says, "No way. You're coaching offense." And he hands me a binder full of all the plays. And it says inside the binder, "This kid is the quarterback," and you just go play by play through this binder. And so I got it, and I stepped into the huddle for the first time with a bunch of beginning second graders. And I said, "All right, here's what we're gonna do." And I put the play out there. I said, "You're gonna go here, here, you're gonna line up here. Break." And all these kids were just kind of like, "What?" No, you have to go. You come over here, you know, and I'm walking over here. You line up here. Okay, you come over here. Hey, when he says hike, you're going to run out there. You're going to stop. You're going to turn around. Hey, you over here, you come here. When he says hike, you're going to run around the backfield and fake. And so I'm literally running the play for them. Well, our quarterback that day had trouble throwing the ball much past the line of scrimmage. And so we had 4 interceptions returned for touchdowns. And my head coaching debut of flag football with the Buffalo Bills of LSO was something around a 0-50 loss. So I'm hanging it up. I'm done. Listen, I just wasn't ready. I had no clue. I mean, I thought that I was ready, but I wasn't ready. Another time when I lived in South Carolina, I was a youth pastor. And in that town, it was called Goose Creek. In Goose Creek, they would have a week every year where we would have services at all the different churches. It was kind of an interfaith week. And so one night, we would have the Baptist pastor would speak at the Lutheran church, and the community would come together, and we would have a service. And my pastor didn't want to speak that week. He felt like he spoke enough. And so he said, you know, my youth pastor will speak. And I said, what? And so I drew the assignment of speaking at the Catholic Church, the biggest church in the area by far, and the Catholic Church. And I had never been to a Catholic service. I know some of you have some experience with the Catholic Church. I had never been to a service. There's a few differences. And so I got there that night. I got there a little bit early, and Father Frank was there. He's about this tall. And I said, Father Frank, is there anything that I need to know about the Catholic service? And Father Frank looked at me and he said, no, you're going to be fine. And I'm pretty sure he turned and just laughed. And so we the service started, and we start walking in, and Father Frank's half my size, and so his steps are half my steps, and he starts walking in real reverent-like. You know, me, I just walk in. He's walking in kind of almost like a wedding, you know? One step at a time, he stops. Oh, hey, how's it going, you know? Oh, hey, how's it going? I'm just trying to keep up with him, like... And just looking ridiculous. And then we get down to the platform, and here, you know, we just walk up onto the platform. Well, I didn't realize, and in the Catholic Church, you got to do something before you walk up. So I just bolted right up there. He stopped and knelt down and did a prayer, and I just looked back and thought, oh, my word. Then we got up there, and we sat in our big old chairs, our big old thrones of chairs, and we were heavily mic'd. And they start singing the music, songs that I've never heard before. And Father Frank, you know, he's been the priest there for quite a while, so he just does whatever he wants. He would sing like every 7th line of the song. He would pipe up, you know, and then would take the next 7 off. And I'm sitting there like, do I sing? I don't even know the words. What is going on? I looked ridiculous. I wasn't ready. I just wasn't ready. Today, as we continue our series on branching out, I want to talk about being ready. And here's the deal. We are called to branch out. We are called not just to come into church and worship, but we are called to go out and share our faith, to share Jesus with the people around us. All of us, I want to be really clear about this. We are all called to share our faith. God's plan is not to have a couple superstars that share the faith. God's plan is that all of us we'll share our faith with others. And so we've got to be ready. Our guiding statement for this series is this: if you are willing and obedient, God will work to build his kingdom through you. I'm going to say it again, and I'm probably going to say it 10 more times. Get used to it. If you are willing and obedient, God will work to build his kingdom through you. We started the service by singing great things. God is doing great things. God, you are doing great things. That's not just lip service, guys. God is doing incredible things right here in Westchester, in this area. God is doing incredible things. And God wants to invite you, God's calling you, to be a part of that. If you are willing and obedient, God will build his kingdom through you. But you got to be ready. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 8 today. And why don't you stand with me for the reading of God's word? My prayer is that God will speak to you through his word today. And I'll set the stage for you here. At this point, the Holy Spirit showed up and the church has begun in Jerusalem. And in first service, I said Stephen got stoned. And I realized I got to be more careful saying that these days than in the past. He was stoned physically. They threw rocks at him and killed him. And the church began to be persecuted. And so the church began to be persecuted there in Jerusalem. The church begun, and then people started coming against the church. And so at this point, the church scattered outside of Jerusalem. And there, the church spread into Judea and Samaria. And so the apostles, they stayed in Jerusalem, but others were scattered all over the place and began to minister. And so one of those is Philip. And Philip was scattered with the church and began to minister. Now, Philip started to minister to the people outside of Jerusalem, and all of a sudden, God started doing some great things. People started coming to know the Lord. People started joining the movement of Jesus. There was what we would call a spiritual awakening, or, you know, in the church, we would call it a revival, but this is a new place, and people are, I mean, this is incredible, this move of God, and Philip's a part of it. And that brings us to verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, this is the passage of Scripture that the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about? Is it himself or is it someone else?" And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders for the chariot to stop, and then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. You can have a seat. So last week we looked at this radical story of four friends digging a hole in a roof to drop their friend down to Jesus so that he could be healed. Here we see a story that I think is very realistic. I think this sort of thing happens all the time. Maybe not an angel showing up visibly, maybe not the whole teleportation where Philip is sent somewhere else, but this idea that God comes to somebody and leads them to somebody else, and then they lead them to Christ. This is a very realistic story, and it's an interesting story. So I want to look at it, and I want to look at four ways that we can be ready to be used by God to share our faith. And this is, so it says, "The angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" So God calls Philip from a major movement to the desert. This is a weird plot twist. Philip has been ministering and great things are happening. People are coming to know Jesus, and this incredible movement of God's happening. And all of a sudden an angel shows up and says, "Philip, go into the desert." That doesn't make a lot of sense, but God was calling Philip somewhere. The first thing we've got to do to be ready is this. We've got to be in tune Now Philip had an angel show up. I don't know how many of you have ever had an angel show up in a dream, or even you would say an angel showed up and told me something from God. That's never happened to me personally. But I have felt God nudge me to do things. Hey, go do this. Hey, go say this. Hey, be a part of it. And so this is something that happens. The first way that we have to be ready is to be in tune with what God's doing. To be in tune. We may not have an angel that shows up. It may be that God just nudges us. And because this doesn't make sense. Why would he leave the great movement to go into the desert? The only way that he could do that is if he's in tune with what God wants from him and what God's doing. So number one, we got to be in tune. We got to be ready by staying tuned to the Holy Spirit. The angel calls him, says, go to the desert. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but what does Philip do? He goes. It says Philip went to the desert. So that brings us to the second thing, and that's this. If God calls you, we have to be ready and obedient. Here's the deal. We started this series by saying we want to pray for others. We want to invite others. We want to bring people to Jesus. Today we're talking about being ready. If we're going to pray the prayer, God open up doors, God open up the harvest, we'd better be prepared to be obedient when God calls us. And this didn't make a lot of sense from our viewpoint, but Philip was obedient because this was God's plan. This is an important lesson for us today. Please, please hear me. If God calls you to something, even if it makes no sense, the best thing you can do is be obedient. God's calling is always, always what's best for us. Last Sunday night, we had Dr. Larry Garman, a missionary to Peru for over 30 years. And he told the story that he and his wife felt the call to missions, and all of a sudden they got sent with their kids to the jungles of Peru. And he said they got there, and I mean, we're talking primitive jungles. These people, you know, they had little to no experience with American people. And they got there, and he started preaching, and he started having services. And he said every time they had a service, he would do the altar call, and people would just look at him. I know the feeling sometimes. People would just look at him like he was crazy over and over again. He would do the altar call, and he took his family into the jungles of Peru. He took them there, moved his kids, and there they are, and it seems like nothing's happening. It makes no sense. But if you were here last Sunday night, then you heard story after story after story of how our God does great things. And how when God calls, Larry said this, when God calls, we have to be obedient. God's calling is the best place for you, even if it doesn't make sense. So number one, we've got to be in tune with the Spirit. Number two, we need to be obedient to God's calling. That's the best place for you. We go on in verse 27, it says, so he started out. He was in tune. He was obedient, and so he started out, and he went on his way. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So here we see God's plan unfold. See, Philip was in the middle of the movement. He was in tune, and God called him to the desert. He was obedient, and now we see why God called him to the desert. God was calling him not to the desert. God was calling him to this Ethiopian eunuch. God had a plan. See, this is another thing I want you to catch today. Sometimes God works through the big thing. Sometimes the harvest comes through big movements of the Spirit. But other times, God brings the harvest one person at a time. There are revivals. There are spiritual awakenings. Those things have happened throughout history. But I would say just as often, if not more often, God works through individuals. God sends us to individuals and calls us to share our faith. And the movement comes one person at a time. And so God calls Philip from the big movement to the Ethiopian eunuch. And why does God do that? Because God cares about individuals. God cares about every person that you walk by. God cares about the Ethiopian eunuch as much as he cares about the big movements. God cares about people. And so God has led Philip to this Ethiopian man. Listen, I want you to hear this. God calls us to people. I've been praying for a while now that God would open doors, and over and over and over again, God has called me, has opened doors for me to minister to people. God cares about the people around you. God cares about the people at your work. God cares about the people at the football field or the soccer field. God cares about people. And so he sends Philip. He says, go to the chariot. I love this part. Verse 30, then Philip ran up to the chariot. He didn't reluctantly go, he ran up to the chariot because now he knows God's up to something and he wants to be a part of it. So he ran up to the chariot. He heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Now in those days, it was customary that you would read out loud. So as the chariot was going, he was reading out loud, and Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. See, God was calling him to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he ran. And what did he find? He found a guy that was ready. He found a guy that had already gone to worship. He found a guy reading scripture. If only it was that easy, guys. This guy was ready. He found a man that God cares about that was right at that place where he was ready to take that next step. Greg Stoughton's a man in this church. You've seen him speak a couple times up here. Greg is all about personal evangelism, and Greg has shared with me several times, and he's not the only one. He didn't come up with this, but there's this kind of graph or this spectrum that we talk about that everybody falls on, and there's a couple different ways you can view it. Some would go 0 to 10 in readiness to accept Christ. Some would be 0 to 10 on their faith journey, and so for some people that would be at a 0, that would mean that they are as far as you can get away from God. I mean, they're not anywhere close. They are anti, they're, you know, and sometimes we will come across people who are nowhere close to finding Jesus. We need to be ready to pray, to invite, to share the good news of Jesus. But then other times, like here, there are people that are on the other side of that scale that are right there. You know, they've already come to church, maybe something's happened, and they're right there. And Philip comes up to the chariot, and this guy's reading scripture. He's just come from worshiping. And the door is open. Sometimes we're called to plant seeds. Sometimes we're called to see the harvest. So number one, we've got to be in tune. Number two, we've got to be obedient. But number three, we've got to look for opportunities to share Christ. If we're going to be used by God, if we're going to surrender ourselves and God is going to work in incredible ways, we've got to be ready, we've got to be in tune, we've got to be obedient, and we've got to be looking for opportunities to share Jesus. I got a call a couple years ago, and someone was just calling the church. This happens, you know, fairly often. Someone's calling the church just to talk to the pastor, and so I started having a conversation, and in that conversation, I felt like, you know, God was leading me to take the conversation further, and so I said, hey, we should have lunch sometime and meet and talk a little bit more, and so I took down this guy's number, and I put it on my desk, which is a scary place to put something that I need to remember, and so I put it on my desk, and 3-4 weeks went by, and one day I was sitting in my chair, and I just happened to glance over and see the number on the piece of paper, and it was like God, once again, you got to be in tune. God nudged me. I didn't see an angel, but God nudged me and said, you need to call. So what did I do? I was obedient, and I called, and I began to build a relationship, a friendship with this guy. And so we started having lunch. And over the past couple years, we've had lunch. And it's been a cool thing to just be able, I mean, I love to just be open to God's calling. And there was kind of a little gap in there between a couple of our connections. It had been about 6 months. And a couple weeks ago, once again, God brought that man to my mind. And so I reached out. You know what one of the things he said to me was? He said, you know, I went to church on Easter. This series, we've talked about praying for others. We talked about inviting. I have been praying for this guy for 2 years. I've invited him several times. Nothing had happened. It's all good. Sometimes we're called to plant seeds. But all of a sudden, I'm on the phone with him. And he says, hey, I went to church on Easter. Guys, if that's not an opportunity right there, if that's not God opening a door, I don't know what is. There it is right there. And so we've got to learn to see the opportunities that are in front of us. Number one, we have to be in tune. Number two, we have to be obedient. Number three, we have to see the opportunities in front of us. The more you pray, the more you practice this, the more God will open doors and you will see these opportunities to share Christ with others. We got to be ready to do our part. And so Philip was. He saw the opportunity. The guy's reading scripture. It doesn't get much more clear than that. And so he jumps in. He says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And if you read this passage as someone who went to church for a long time, you'd probably understand it was talking about Jesus. But if you read that passage as somebody who knew nothing about it, you might be a little confused. And so he said, no, how can I understand this unless someone teaches me? And so it says right there, then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Number one, we need to be in tune. Number two, we need to be obedient. Number three, look for opportunities, open doors. But number four is this, we've got to be ready to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. I think one of the biggest reasons that we don't share our faith is because we don't know what to say. We don't know how to share our faith. I love this. This is so simple. It says that he started with that passage, but what he did, he told him the good news of Jesus Christ. Guys, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have a presentation for somebody. You know what you need to do? You need to be ready to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. Because God loves the people around you, and God is already at work. And so if that's holding us back, 1 Peter 3 says, in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. Listen, guys, if we're going to branch out, if we're going to fulfill what God wants from us, we have to be in tune. We have to be obedient. We have to look for opportunities. But we better be ready to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. I walked onto that flag football field and I was not prepared. I walked into that Catholic church and I was not prepared. I don't want to walk into opportunities that God opens not prepared to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We're called to tell people the good news. We are called. Yes, I am called to preach the word up here, but you are called to preach the word at your job. You are called to preach the word in your family. You are called to preach the word at school, and you don't have to have a 30-minute sermon. Tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. Be in tune. Be obedient. Look for opportunities and be prepared to share the good news. I'm fully aware that there may be some people in here today that would say, hey, this message isn't for me because I'm not even a follower of Jesus Christ. Can I just tell you the good news of Jesus Christ really quick? There's not a person in here who hasn't sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not a single person in here that hasn't lived selfishly and done something hurtful to others. Every single one of us has fallen short, and we all owe a price because of it. Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death. That might seem harsh to you, but if you're living for yourself, guess what? When death comes, that's what you get. You get what you've lived for, which is the end. But Scripture tells us that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel is this. The good news of Jesus Christ is this, that I am not worthy of God's love. You have fallen short. You are not worthy. But because God loves you so much, he sent his son to die on the cross. His body was broken. His blood was shed so that you could be made right. You don't have to pay the price for your sins. You're offered grace because God loves you. But not only did he die on a cross, he rose from the dead. He conquered sin and death. And here's some more good news about Jesus Christ. You can live in a relationship with him today, and you don't have to continue to live in a selfish, sinful state. You can follow him, and you can have life abundant. So here's the deal. There's two types of people in here. For some of us, we are called to branch out and share our faith. And today, I want to encourage you to be ready. Be in tune. Be obedient. Look for opportunities. Listen, I have been on this journey now for a while where I've been praying every day, God, open doors, God, open doors. You know what happens when you pray that prayer? God opens doors. And I've been on this journey of obedience, and you know what? If I'm willing and obedient, if you're willing and obedient, God will do great things. God will build his kingdom through you. Look for opportunities. Be ready to share Jesus Christ with others. There may be some of you that say, hey, I don't know how to do that. I just laid it out for you right here. But if you need a little bit more coaching, that's what we're here for. You know, you can write on one of your Connect cards, hey, I'd like to know more about you know, sharing my faith. You could go online and click the I'm ready button and let us know that you're ready to share your faith. We are here to partner with you. God is calling us, not me, us, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world around us. Are you ready? So that's some of you, maybe most of you. But if there's anyone in here today that would say, I am not living as a follower of Jesus Christ, I have not received the salvation, I'm still living in that selfish, sinful state, today can I tell you that you're missing it? And that there's a God that loves you more than anything you will find on earth, a God that loves you more than you will ever understand, and Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins and your shortcomings. And today, you can be made right, and you can walk with him. If you're in that boat today, I want to encourage you to just pray along with me and receive Christ. Why don't you stand with me, worship team, come on up. In a second, we're going to sing, Burn Like a Fire in Me. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. But right now, would you pray with me? And regardless of which person you are, pray that God will give you the boldness to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Or today, maybe it's praying, God, I receive you. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray you'd be with each one of us. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your love, and I thank you for those that have been going to the church forever, those who have accepted you as their Savior and have been walking with you. Lord, today you are calling us to branch out in our faith. So I pray, Lord, that you'd be working in each of our hearts. I pray that we would be in tune with your Spirit. I pray that we would be obedient to what you're calling, Lord. I pray that we would look for opportunities because you're going to open doors, Lord. But I pray that we would be ready to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the people around us. Give us a boldness. Lord, if there's anyone in here that hasn't accepted you as their Lord and Savior, I pray today that they would offer themselves to you. Lord, forgive me. Forgive us of our selfishness and our sinfulness. Lord, we turn our hearts to you. We surrender to you. And Lord, I thank you that you offer us life and wholeness. Give us life today. We offer ourselves to you. Light a fire under us, Lord. Help us to live for you. Help us to be fully obedient to you. Lord, you are doing great things. Invite us to be a part of it. In Jesus' name, amen.